You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed that there's been no mention of Razor Hail in Gears of War 4. Like, not once throughout the entire campaign, not in the multiplayer. You know, Marcus Fenix doesn't go, "Ah, Razor Hail," which is one of my favorite, like, honestly, Gears of War quotes ever.
What is it?
It's so ridiculous. It's a type of, like,
superstorm.
It's basically hail, except it's, like, sharp, and it's, like, so sharp that it can kill you and cut you.
Oh, like actual razor hail.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Razor hail. And that's like one of his most iconic quotes.
It sounds
ever.
So much like raise hail that I thought that's what the expression meant.
Oh, John, it's razor hail. Come on. Gotta get into the Gears of War lore. You gotta research this stuff.
I always love your delivery when you do it.
God, razor hail. And though he does do a number of great quotes, he goes to the, shit. Ah, come on!
That was my favorite.
You know, I mean, I love that stuff. Although, another thing,
my tomatoes!
Yeah, oh, the tomatoes. Yeah, there's your Dominic Santiago reference in Gears of War 4. But welcome, everyone. I am Chris Herman, and I'm, of course, joined by my fellow host, John Romo, and we are here to review Gears of War 4, one of the big exclusive titles that has come out this fall. And, I mean, just for me, I have to admit, I'm like, look, I'm a big fan of the Gears of War franchise. Yeah. It's kind of what I think put the Xbox 360 on the map at that time, like 2006, the first Gears of War. It was very successful. It really kind of showed where third-person shooters were going and how so many like third-person shooters after Gears of War like copied that formula, became so popular. And I really love that kind of third-person cover-based shooting. And that kind of carries on throughout the series and definitely in 4. And for people that don't know, Gears of War 4 actually takes place 25 years after the events of the third game, where the COG have kind of started to reestablish their government around the world, that the Locust have supposedly been exterminated, and basically society is trying to, you know, starting to get back to some semblance of, like, of normalcy. Exactly, they're rebuilding. It's humanity basically coming together to rebuild. Of course, then we later find out about kind of, like, the next generation of some of these, certain characters within the COG, particularly Marcus Fenix's son, J.D., and a number of other characters in their kind of adventure slash mission to figure out maybe the Locust War may not be over. Maybe it's taking a new form. Yeah, an evolution, if you will, John. And so, just for me, like, right off the bat, I have to say, I think the Coalition who developed this game, they took it over from Epic. Microsoft bought the property from Epic. And I have to say, I'm pretty impressed with the title. Like, after playing through the campaign and several of the multiplayer modes, and particularly Horde, which I think is probably at its best right now than it's ever been, I feel confident that Gears of War is in good hands, as opposed to something like Halo, with, like, 343, which I think that they've made a lot of missteps with that franchise. I'm, like, confident going forward, like, with the Coalition in charge of Gears of War. Those are just kind of, like, my surface thoughts at the moment. What about you, John?
We want to talk promise. Is that, like, I think that's where we're on the same page.
Okay.
Is, I think the Coalition didn't necessarily drop the ball in terms of understanding certain elements of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really excited about this review because I think so far every review we've had, we've kind of similarly agreed.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the one thing, just talking offhand, you know, as we progressed, where I think I severely differ from you.
Severely.
So, first off, I do want to say with the positive, Coalition did a great job in the multiplayer aspect. Mm-hmm. I immediately, when I bought the game, I just jumped into multiplayer because you know, that's what I remember most. Well, actually, no. I remember most playing the single player with my brother and really enjoying that ride, enjoying those characters, Marcus, Cole, Baird, and especially Dom. Like, you don't get many opportunities to play a Hispanic male in a
Is in this game.
For a brief moment, in which I also love that little section just kick off the game, that little prologue.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I jumped in the multiplayer first, and it feels exactly the same, but very refined, and with new elements, new gameplay elements. So mm-hmm. I loved that. Then I jumped into the single player, and no.
Okay, when you say
from the get-go, I was like, this feels wrong. This doesn't feel like the multiplayer either. What I loved about Gears initially was its weight. It felt chunky and a much slower pace, which I think fits with the way the gameplay is structured anyway, where, you know, hide behind covers, you do pop up and cover, up and cover, and that's how you play. And that's how you play in multiplayer, too, to a certain extent, eventually.
Yeah, except you run up and get someone's shotgun. Yeah, exactly.
but it's always perfectly timed in that kind of sense. Like, you have to fight for your battle, you know, fight to move forward, fight to push the lines, and then all of a sudden you're sideswiped. Because that's how war works, you know, flanking and stuff like that. Whereas I jumped into the single player, and I loved the Locusts. The Locusts were great. They felt like they had some sort of human element to them, but they were also just beasts.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I think, every much the cogs equal.
Yeah.
In weight and fighting tactics, and I understood that. Whereas, first off, in the first act of the game, you do not fight any sort of organic enemies.
No, I mean, they introduce basically a robot enemy. Basically this robot army, which actually makes sense plot-wise, and we'll get into that for a minute, but continue with your thought.
And it's just, it's missing that meat that I think, I used to love just like shooting the Locust, because I felt like sound design wise, and like maybe it's a little hint of the rumble in the back of the 360 controller, where Epic Games really made you feel the impact, I think, the bullets were making on the Locust. It's a very minor detail, but I noticed that I did not feel that shooting these robot characters in the first act, and also I roadie ran, just, you know, that's just, I love the roadie run. It's a great gameplay mechanic. And it felt like the speed was 2x in the single player. And I could kind of understand that from it's not as tactile, but I immediately could tell something was off and I did not like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and JD's just not a great character.
Okay, so I'm gonna jump in here right now. Now, in regards to kind of like the first act, where it's true, you don't fight the main enemy in the game, which is the swarm. You fight basically this robotic army. They're called DBs, and we learn out why they're called DBs, which I think is really, really fun. But yeah, they are they're the replacement for like the COG army, because one of the things I appreciate about the game is that they really, you know, Gears of War, you can definitely criticize all the stories in all the games. They're not particularly well written. However, you can tell that there's a great respect for lore within all the Gears games. And here it is respected with the introduction of the DBs, where they explain that because humanity's population has fallen, so, I mean, it almost became extinct at one point. The fact that they would then use these mechanical, basically this robot army makes sense, especially because you have all this, like, metal and excess materials that no one is using because the population is so low. And so when they created this robot army to pacify these kind of certain regions that may still be too dangerous for humans, I thought that made sense. Now, in regards to the way that the robots react, you're right. They don't, to me at least, have the same type of intelligence that the COG or even the swarm have. They seem like they're kind of always going towards you. Like, even when they don't particularly take cover, because they don't kind of, there's no, like, they don't have their own self-preservation.
Yeah, you know? There's no...
But I think that's important. I think that's why, that's the point, because they're robots, because they're expendable.
So, did the Coalition just reside to go, oh, this first act is going to be not fun?
I don't think
they reside to just do that.
I don't think building. I wouldn't say that. There? I mean, it's subjective to say what's fun or not. For me, I like, it's the weakest of the acts in the game is Act One. But again, you're introducing all these certain characters. You're introducing like what has gone on in this world for so long. I mean, it's very plot heavy. And even before then, I want to say that the prologue section, which I thought was great, which basically explores like three different time periods throughout the Gears history. So one being kind of the end of the Pendulum Wars, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool, and how like
Is you that get the one where you get to play Dom, right?
Yeah, you get to play Dom and Victor Hoffman. Who's the Colonel Victor Hoffman, and then you also, and that's kind of like where you discover the technology for the Hammer of Dawn, which mm-hmm. I thought was really cool. Then you go into the first day in E-Day, where you play as Kim, who is in Gears of War 1, and just kind of that whole, you don't play as Kim, but you play a COG soldier who's working with Kim.
Who runs
exactly.
into Kim.
Exactly. And the same thing with the previous prologue chapter. Yes. No.
You get to use it.
You get to use it, yeah. And then the last part of the prologue is like the last day of the Locust War in Anvil Gate, where Marcus and Delta Squad activate the super weapon, and you go back and you see like what happened like with Victor Hoffman and like the COG army. This is one of the last strongholds of humanity, which I thought was really, really cool that they covered all these different things. And it catches up to a certain extent people who may not be familiar with the series. Like this is very much kind of a reintroduction. It's bullet points. Yeah, but it's a reintroduction to the series for people who may have not played these games for, you know, maybe like 5 years, depending on if 3 was the last one or Judgment. Even for people who haven't played these games, I thought that was cool. Now, with the first and with Act 1, I will agree it's not as fun as the other chapters, but I liked the idea of the DBs and why they were there. And I also kind of liked the fact that they were hinting at what has kind of happened in the world in regards to like how the COG is treating everyone specifically, where it's very much a fascist society. It's always been like the COG is very a fascist government where they're authoritarian, which I think is cool. And that is kind of carried over from the original 4 games into this one. And I like that. And I particularly like the last segment, which I know that you're going to disagree with me here, of Act 1, where you kind of get to defend your home base, which was really, it's an introduction to Horde mode.
The Please Play Horde teaser thing?
And here's the thing, man. I like those. And those, they're scattered throughout the campaign. There's one in there's one in Act 1, right. One in Act 3, and one in Act 5. And I just like that because it kind of gets into my my RPG kind of obsession, where I like to build up my base. I like to become progressively more powerful, and it's like, oh, I can get to put like a turret right here, another turret on the side, and all these different, like this barbed wire over here, and it prevents it. That I really, really like.
But even then, those sections are so Horde light that you don't get the opportunity to build up your turret if it survives a wave.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have enough money each time to spend on 2 items, maybe.
I think it's more than that, depending on which wave you're in. Because usually there's like 3 waves for all those sections. And by the end wave, you can have like, I can have like 2 automatic turrets and like several fences and things like that.
If
and
your
a main
fences
turret.
Survived. And I guess for you, we did play on 2 different difficulties.
I played on normal.
And I played on hardcore.
Yeah.
So there was a lot more just initial frustration, mm-hmm. just dying. And I think probably I should have made the choice knowing we had to review it to play normal, so it was a little easier to breeze through. But playing through hardcore led to more frustration.
Right.
And so every time I had something built up, there's one of my turns would always die.
Yeah.
And the other one was on the like brink of death. Brink of death. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I remember the first time thinking, oh, well, then I can just upgrade that one. It'll be stronger and I can rebuild itself. You can't do that. And that just doesn't make sense.
Well, you can replace it,
but like, what's the point? It's just a level 1 turret every single time.
Sure.
And it's just kind of like,
it is Horde mode light, but I still like those sections because again, it got my RPG itch that I like
Did you dive into Horde mode?
Oh yeah, I love
it.
Okay,
then we'll get into that later. But I just
as the game kind of continues and we go into like the later chapters, for me the game, it felt like Gears of War with Act 2, with the reintroduction of spoiler Marcus Fenix, and
which I feel lacked weight.
See, for me, I thought it was really good, particularly because there's like something that's missing. Oh, I wonder if you missed this, but when you went to his house, did you explore the entire property before you introduced yourself to Marcus again, mm-mm. as JD? If you go off to the side, you get to visit, okay, this is another spoiler, it's in the game, you know, but you get to visit the grave of your mother.
Mm.
And you have this really quiet moment with like all those 3 characters, with Del and with Kate. And, oh, by the way, we should probably back up a bit. So kind of the plot of the game, it takes place over the course of one night, in where JD and Del and Kate's outsider village or society is basically attacked by this unknown enemy. And they kidnap, like, all of the villagers. And then JD and his two friends, they have to figure out, like, okay, what the hell happened to everybody? We have to figure out, like, what happened. And so they go to Marcus Fenix because he obviously has the best experience. And they can't go back to the COG because they're deserters from the COG. That's important to point out.
Yeah, but
some
I love,
plot elements.
I think it's something's interesting is the fact that you forgot about them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the game kind of does that.
Yeah, well, we'll get in that. But anyway, but when you come to that point when you visit your mother's grave as JD, and then their dialogue changes. I learned when you talk to Marcus again, like when you're interacting with him in like certain sections of Act Two, and I thought that was really special. But it's a thing that you can miss. But I liked that, and it added more weight to Marcus's reintroduction.
Which, now that I think about it, I remember. We had clarified, because I didn't know much about Gears 4. I just knew, well, I'm probably going to buy it.
Yeah.
Because one, we're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
And two, I love the first three Gears. It's never outwardly stated that Anya is his mom, unless you do that.
I mean, in the...
Or at least it was
in
never
the promotion,
for me.
The promotional material. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, if you haven't... I mean, you didn't watch the promotional material. No. They say that... Yeah, it's clearly that's their child. And that
I mean, I could I get it for someone who played the first three Gears.
And he looks just like
but
her.
I want to... Is this game... And I guess we can dive on this later on, too, but is this game for new people? Or is this game for people who love the first three games? Because if for someone new, you don't really understand why you should give a shit about JD. And I don't think they ever explain why you should give a shit about JD.
Well,
if he's the person we're playing with, I don't think we're ever given enough reason to really care for him. You're right.
I mean,
the game really gets going when Marcus is there. And the game really gets going... I think because, one, Marcus adds a sort of gruffness to it that reminds me of the old Gears. The Tomatoes line is the first time I really feel like any humor is really there.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus gets a lot more moments and sort of importance than the other two side characters. Or not Kate. Kate has...
I think Kate's a great
Kate,
character.
I love Kate, actually. I like her more than JD. Del is just there.
No, I agree. No, just to kind of, just to go back to like to JD, I actually really like JD. To me, he has more personality than Marcus, especially compared to the last three games. Like he's a more jokey personality. He seems more even tempered. He seems to be kind of easygoing, and he just reminds me of Nathan Fillion. I'm sorry, but like his delivery, and I actually question. I'm like, does Nathan Fillion voice his character? I have to look it up, and apparently he does not. He's voiced by a voice actor named Liam McTiernan, and I thought he does a great job, but I actually really like JD because he was just so likable from the get go. Whereas you kind of when I compare it to like Marcus's introduction in Gears of War, like he really doesn't have a personality. He really doesn't. He's very curmudgeonly. He's very gruff, and you kind of rely on all the other characters surrounding him, Dom, Cole, and Baird, to bring out like any personality within the squad.
Which I think
whereas
is-
with here, I felt. Everyone had a personal. Now, in regards to Del, yes, he's the weakest of the new characters that have been introduced. He's pretty much there. He's not there to be comic relief. But
no,
he's
nothing about those three is funny. None of them have any sort of comedy to them.
I disagree. I think that when you get all three of them together and they're kind of going off each other, I think that you do get some comedy. Mm. And then when Marcus is brought in, that comedy increases. Because you have three characters who are very kind of have a... really, to be honest, a more realistic personality compared to a guy who's like, dude, you gotta like chill out. So I actually really like that.
They do have a much more realistic personality.
Yeah,
but that's why I keep thinking like, is this for fans or they want new fans? I'm just very confused about who the game is kind of for.
Yeah, I mean,
because I see this from a fan of the first three perspective. So when Marcus shows up and he does kind of have a more over the top, because his lack of personality, as you put it, I think that is in essence a personality because he's so like curmudgeonly, like you said.
It works especially here because he's with those three other characters.
Works here because he's the one I want to be around.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, I guess their whole dynamic just worked really well for me, and it brought out. Their personalities more, especially in regards to Marcus and JD. And I like that and I hope they continue to explore this in the next few games, JD's and Marcus's relationship. Because again, there's a lot. It adds a lot of history to the like what happened between these two.
It does. It adds a lot, and answers nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, fair enough. I mean, I think that's a legitimate criticism of it. But
reveal.
I was
The end. The very end.
We'll get to that in a second. But as I think, as you kind of progress through the campaign, you're introduced to, again, the main enemy of the game, which is the Swarm, which I really liked the fact that they are.
Yeah, I wrote that. Act 3, like, I guess the very beginning, one of my notes says, Act 3, and still no main enemy.
Well, they're teased.
And we don't get the Lancer until halfway through Act 2.
And I think that's a great thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Because they make you want it so bad. That's the thing that Gears has done, and this game does it well. Where it you progressively become more powerful throughout the campaign, especially in the last act, which I thought was awesome, which might be one of my favorite parts of the game. But they, because it makes sense for plot purposes where they're outsiders, they wouldn't have the most advanced technology of the cog.
Another thing, I have no idea why they're outsiders. I understand why Kate is. I kind of get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's said that Del and JD leave the cog.
Yeah, they left the cog.
Never explain why. It never really explains what's going on there. Mm-hmm. They just left.
No, you're right. They hint at something that potentially happened in regards to like Settlement 2.
Yeah,
which is hinted at, and that's dropped. You're right. Again, the main story is not. I'm not saying it's a good main story. I'm just saying everything in between with the characters and the gameplay and how certain things are like implemented in terms of like how the gameplay interacts with the environment, I really liked. But yeah, with Act 3, you introduce the Swarm, which are basically like an evolved version of the Locust. And you kind of like learn more about kind of like the history of the Locust and how they've changed and have adapted to their environment. And I really like the Swarm, particularly when you're first introduced, you're introduced to these kind of like these little kind of like zombie, like albino creatures, which I thought were really, really cool. And they kind of reminded me of the, what were they called in the first Gears of War? Wretches. Yeah. Except they're like a little more advanced, a little more nimble and faster.
I really loved the first encounter with the Swarm. Mm-hmm. It felt horrific.
Yeah.
And zombie-esque, like a Left 4 Dead-esque thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, we're going to get some gameplay changes here. Mm-hmm. I think Coalition is really going to try something new with this new enemy.
Yeah.
And I got really kind of excited about that.
Okay.
Doesn't really do that.
I mean, the Swarm, I mean, they do play similar to the Locust. Oh, they introduce a number of new creatures that change how you react in the moment. I mean, with the wretches, or excuse me, the what they call them, the juvies? Yeah, call them the juvies.
They're all stupid names.
Juvies.
By the way.
Oh no, juvies.
Hey, you know the
and
one
drones.
Enemy that pounces on you? Let's just call him a pouncer.
That's
you know that one that snatches people? Oh, he's a snatcher.
Oh, come on.
Even Marcus goes like, "What did you call it?"
But yeah, but that's the other thing that they're aware of the fact how ridiculous everything is. I mean, if you can be aware of, you can make fun of yourself, because they do. There's a lot of dialogue where they're like, what the fuck is going on? They're like, I don't know. Whatever. Let's just keep going. I like that, because they're aware. It's like, yeah, the story's dumb. It is dumb. It's Gears of War. But I like, everything in between works really well and comes up with a fun experience. Now, I like the new enemies introduced, like the Pouncer and the Snatcher.
Pouncer sucks.
Because he's hard and he's difficult to pin down.
Kind of like on hardcore enemies. It's just like they're all bullet sponges.
I mean, you can say that for all the other games. You know, the bullets from those enemies. You know, again, it's that meat that you like to talk about.
I
so
did
much.
Like it a little more. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
like I said, once the Swarm shows up, I did start to find the gameplay more interesting because it was starting to feel like an actual like enemy was there.
Yeah.
That meat was coming back,
mm-hmm.
and I think by Act 3, we're 4 hours in.
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know.
Two and a half, three.
Maybe three. I'd say three.
You know, you'd hope by hour three in an action game that you're finally getting to the meat of it. I felt like it took so long.
See, for me, for the meat of it came in Act 2, even when you're fighting the robot enemies. Because, again, I just kind of liked the level design was more, you know, we can talk about, like, the level design. I thought it was a lot better from Act 2 on, particularly when you're kind of going to, like, Marcus's mansion and things like that and how it's falling down.
I did love that.
That was really, really cool.
That was my favorite, I think, scene of the game, really. Is it kind of, I don't know, because it also seemed more like a big Marcus-heavy moment.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And the other thing I liked is that they also introduced these, so there's like these geological disasters that are happening around the planet with like, they're called wind flares. Mm-hmm. And what I like is that, okay, so you have to like outmaneuver the wind flare to get to like a certain location to take shelter. However, there are sections when you're being attacked by enemies. And what I like about that is that you can shoot things within the environment to then take out enemies.
Yes, I do.
And I like that, how they have like these, a really cool, epic, kind of almost like cutscene moment. But again, you can, there's the, it's scattered around like great gameplay sections. And it shows that that's really inspired level design, more so than I think in any past Gears game.
That motorcycle chase, though, huh? That was a lot of fun.
Okay, here's the
stupid
thing. The motorcycle chase at the end
it's
of
bad.
Act 2.
Just say it's bad, please.
It's, there's always been like a vehicle section in a Gears game.
You can't even say it's bad.
In Gears 1 is bad. This one is just, again, it was more of a, I would have been fine had it just been a cutscene. I didn't feel like particularly like a need to play. I don't think it was horrible, but I just liked the whole moment of like, this is fucking crazy.
My note says, that motorcycle chase. Nope.
It's not something that I think it's not the like, again, gameplay wise, it doesn't do anything particularly different. Let me say this. It's less frustrating than the Centaur, section in the original Gears game, which was incredibly frustrating when you're being attacked by Krill. At least here, it's more of an on rails type thing. And you're basically shooting things. And again, Gears of War is incredibly cinematic. And I appreciate that cinematic moment. I would have probably liked it more had it just been a really elaborate cutscene. It didn't bother me as clearly bothered you.
It was so not fun.
But so kind of just to continue on, I think one of the other, big kind of gameplay features that I really appreciated was the introduction of the giant mechanical robot suits you get to wear while fighting all the big enemies. I think that was awesome. In Act 5.
When, the mover, like the tank?
No. This is at the end of the game when you, in Act 5, okay, so now we're going to get into spoilers.
Like literally the last two chapters?
Yeah, in the last two chapters. We're going to get into spoilers here. So, yeah, cover your ears or come play the game and come back.
Hold on. Before we get to spoilers, I do want to mention two things.
Okay.
For people who, just want to know. Gameplay mechanics. Two little, like, nitpicky things. Mm-hmm. Well, one is I noticed... It's really weird that the Coalition didn't get right the animation for picking up the Fabricator. Just like... I'm just starting to notice... I'm playing a lot more games. So I'm starting to notice a lot about the technical aspect and like animation, sound design. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't think the Marcus reveal had enough weight, because the music wasn't really there. It didn't swell. It didn't... It just...
Well, that's just not kind of, the kind of character Marcus
know, but
is,
it was
though.
Just more like,
what do you
like,
want?
It's just more like the door's open and he's sitting there.
Yeah.
It's like, hey...
Welcome home, James.
Cool.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah, the Fabricator carry animation is just bad. It's just bad. And it's just like something about that really irked me.
I mean, for me, I just didn't notice it. I was just like, I use this thing to create things that I like. That's all. What's the other thing you want to mention?
Gameplay mechanics wise, I really love the. When you're behind cover, they've added the new element of just picking them up, like taking them over. And I think. In multiplayer, too, especially, that kind of pounce over and you knock them back.
Oh,
and
I love that.
And they're
yes.
vulnerable. Or you grab them mm-hmm. and they're vulnerable.
Yeah, and the knife attack.
And the knife attack. That, one, adds an level of brutality that I want from my single player.
Yeah.
For sure. That's mm-hmm. what I was saying was missing from Act 1. Any sort of brutality that I really associate with Gears of War. Mm-hmm. That, like, that's what it's about. It's about the brutality of war and all that meat and blood. Multiplayer, it just adds a whole new tactic.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be more cautious about where you're placing and how long you're placed there. I just love Gears multiplayer. Do we want to spoil now or we want to save that? Because I feel like if we're just going review spoiler free.
Well, let's save it to the end, because you're kind of, I guess, going into your final thoughts. So
No. Well, I also want to talk.
We can do after our final thoughts. We can go do the spoilers.
I do want to talk about Horde a little bit. I think I'm just not a fan of Horde esque. Things, because I think we talked about it, and it's more your stees, but like for me, I played one match, after 5 minutes, I was like, this sucks. I'm going back to multiplayer, which is great.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you play Horde alone?
Yes.
That's the problem. Horde is meant, yes, you had the option to play it by yourself, but Horde is meant to be played with other players.
Well, I mean, I play it with other players online.
Okay.
Yes. But in this age of party chats where no one's talking,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like going to shoot these boring enemies and put my money over here. And then we all died. Like, I thought the wave was done at wave 5, but for some reason we all just respawned and could play again. And I was like, well, what's the point of even playing?
You probably have lives in regards to the certain horde mode.
It I guess so.
It depends on the difficulty you're playing horde mode at.
I think it was hardcore.
Yeah, I think you then you have like a life. Whereas in Gnome, I think you get like two, and like insane, I don't think you get any. That's kind of the point in regards to horde mode. But
what do you like? I can feel that it is an evolution, and probably the best that this horde mode has ever been. It introduces classes for people to play,
which is from Gears of War Judgment, which again I think is a very underrated game.
Cool,
carried over. Judgment, I think, had the best of the older series, the best multiplayer, in my opinion.
Okay, and then it also added, and this might have been from Judgment, these little cards, a la Titanfall, where
new.
Okay, where you can come in with an advanced reload speed or more health or something class specific. I think that is a really cool element, and I could feel as I was playing it, I was just like, I bet Chris likes this.
I do. I
just
love
because it does. It feels kind of micromanaging in a sense, a little upgradey, and it's just not my thing.
For me, I mean, in regards to just like the multiplayer, I like the regular multiplayer games like Team Deathmatch, King of the Hill. I mean, I love King of the Hill and Gears of War.
Oh, the regular multiplayer is the best.
It is. And it's not as, you're right, it's not as fast as a single player campaign, but that's very much like the original Gears games where it's not as fast as the single player. As the multiplayer is, but because you're not playing like the main character enemy, you know, they kind of slightly restrict your power set, so you're all on an even playing field of other players, which I'm fine with. Now, the multiplayer modes are still great. King of the Hill is probably my favorite of the regular multiplayer, but I love what they've done with Horde. I love just how they made it more micromanaging. I guess for some who maybe want something simpler, that's not for them, but for someone like me who loves that, I'm all about it. And I think this is the best just Horde mode that's been featured so far in the Gears of War franchise.
Yeah, it's definitely worth noting that when it comes to modes like these wave-esque modes, the only one I have ever enjoyed playing for more than an hour was OG World at War Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important to take what it is. If you're a fan of this kind of mode, listen more to Chris. But if you're not, I don't really think it's going to bring you in.
Right. So just I guess that we can kind of move into the more. I mean, we've given like warning where we do spoilers, but like let's talk about some of the more spoilery sections towards the end of the game. So they introduce the giant like mech suits that you wear in the final act, where they actually have they bring back Damon Baird and Coltrane and Sam.
I could not tell that was Baird the first time.
Well, because he's bald now.
I know
he's bald. He
looks so old.
Like they all look old.
Yeah,
Marcus looks old.
Maybe he
Cole
just
looks
like,
old.
He just looks like unrecognizably old.
Yeah. Well, it's been rough on him all those years. But then you also learned that the Damon Baird is also the creator of the robots you've been fighting.
Yeah.
But they were repurposed for military purposes. But I thought, oh, that makes sense. Of course he would do that because he's a genius.
Yeah.
He basically gives you these giant mechanical robot bodies that you wear. And then I love it. Again, it shows how throughout both with Epic and clearly with the Coalition, how they progressively make you stronger throughout the entire campaign by introducing new things to play with. And where it felt so satisfying to kill these enemies that were just plaguing me throughout the regular campaign and just blow them up with one hit, or take my giant razor blade gun or whatever the hell it was and just blow the crap out of them. I love that. And then you also had this Predator-esque shoulder cannon come up, and then you can then track it, and then like the helicopter above you would like fire missiles down at these specific locations. So much fun.
What I also really loved is especially the Brumac fights when the Brumac or
they're called the
Swarmax.
Swarmax.
God.
Oh, come on.
God.
It's fun. Oh, Brumac was such a great name.
It was an original name.
Swarmac.
Gosh. But yeah, I love that when you fight them as the robot, you still can do the mechanic.
Yeah.
As a game, you can still do the behind cover.
Except cover is like a three-story building.
So it just felt like kind of like a kaiju film for a little bit there, which was awesome.
Yeah, and then, of course, towards the end of the game, you actually have like a kaiju-esque battle, which is not unfamiliar to the Gears of War franchise. You fight giant enemies before, except here you're
also
just
giant yourself.
Yeah, you're a giant
Megazord.
Too. it is like a Megazord. But then, we kind of get into my biggest criticism, I think, is with the final cutscene of the game, which is the ending, because this whole mission is you're trying to get Kate's mother back, and you kind of discover that she's already been assimilated by the swarm. Although they hint at why that might be. And I think that the last image of that scene is like, okay, she's obviously related to the Locust Queen from the Gears of War 3, which I will say this. One of my biggest complaints of Gears of War 3 was like, why did you drop the the plot with regards to the Locust and like the Locust Queen? And clearly she's very different from them. So I like the fact that they're going to at least continue on in the franchise exploring what that is. And I think it's, you can definitely criticize, like, why didn't they just do that more throughout the first game? But at the same time, I at least appreciate the fact that they're going to continue on and explore that storyline. So, John, tell me why I'm wrong and why they should have done the opposite.
No, it's just, I love that reveal. Mm-hmm. I actually do love that.
Yeah.
I just hate that it's literally right before the screen goes black.
Yeah.
And you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I've said, it feels... I don't ever really understand why I'm playing the story. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't care. I don't ever care about JD or...
Oh,
like,
JD.
I care about Kat a little bit, but she's just so Kate. New. Yeah. Kate. Okay, sorry. But she's just so new that there is no real, like, oh, let's go do that. Mm-hmm. I feel more like, oh, I got to go get Marcus than I do, oh, I got to go.
I felt I was going to cry.
I actually forgot. Yeah. Yeah. When Marcus, you Spoiler. Think Marcus is dead.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah. I was like, this shit got real.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. No, let's back out. Let's cop out of this.
Oh, they could have killed. People would have freaked out. It's like, no, John DiMaggio, no. you can't kill me.
But at that point, I kind of forgot, oh, yeah, we're getting Kat's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kate's mom. That, okay. Well, I guess let's finish that. And then you meet her. And even then, it feels weird that you fight that giant monster, but after that, you're kind of done. Like, you just kind of walk up into that nest.
Yeah.
Watch Kat.
The central hub.
Yeah, watch Kate kill her, which I think is also, they keep on that a while while she's doing it. And I was like, this is kind of a brutal, sad moment. I'm feeling a little something here.
Yeah.
Okay, good job.
It's like the opposite of the Domino's wife. It's like, this actually worked.
No, I care.
Because you know why? Because here, I'll say this. Because we never meet whatever the hell her name is. Maria. Maria. Whereas, at least with Kate's mother,
it was only because
Raina.
It was only because Kate. In comparison to JD and Dell. I love Kate in comparison to the other two who don't have a personality. So, like, seeing her cry.
I'll give you Dell, but I won't give you JD. But, I mean,
What is his personality?
Please tell me. He's Nathan Fillion. He's basically funny. Nathan Fillion.
He doesn't say a funny thing.
Oh, man, I totally disagree.
He does not say a funny thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, people should play this and find out who's wrong.
Another funny thing, maybe he said it. Someone goes, Marcus goes, was that an emergence hole? And he goes, nah, it's some sort of nest. And I remember thinking, it works exactly the same. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
but yeah, and Kate's mom gives her that necklace right before, after she dies. And Kate. And she's like, it belonged to my grandmother. And like holds it up to the people. But
it's a locust symbol.
To her crew. And then behind the other side of the token amulet thing, it's revealed that it's the locust symbol.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh boy, okay.
Yeah. It's just getting real.
Hit to black, and it's like...
I mean, and here's the thing. At that moment, I knew the game was ending. And I get it, because that is a tease, and it's just to tease the eventual sequel.
It's more like...
It's like chapter one in the story.
It just feels like the Coalition made this story, and they were just like, oh, it doesn't matter. People are going to buy this game anyway. We just need to like make sure we get the mechanics, we understand how we're doing this, and we'll figure out... We'll really push the story later. Mm. It feels more like a guaranteed trilogy, and so they don't take many chances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
You think it's, like, too safe.
It is very safe. Like, like I said, when the first entrance, the first introduction of the Juvies, I was like, okay, these enemies are going to be faster, are going to be different.
Yeah.
But there are too many instances where it works exactly the same in the case of, like, that emergence hole versus nest. They just call it something different.
Yeah.
But it works exactly the same. Mm-hmm.
But they explain that, but because the swarm are related to the locust, that they are an evolution of locust. I get what you're saying, yeah. But I'm thinking of it in terms of the lore and how this world they've created works. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
in terms of gameplay, it's a little too similar.
And if you're going to be similar, that's okay. But do something weird with the story then. Like, try something new. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it just took too long to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Like I said, the whole first act, sans prologue, doesn't do anything interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second act is interesting just because Marcus is there, and it's kind of funny that he finally ups the notch a little bit in his delivery of things.
Yeah.
Only reason I care about Act 3 is because I really want to get Marcus. I don't remember Act 4. And the robot thing in Act 5 is cool.
Yeah, the robot thing. Okay, fair enough. So, I mean, what would be, since those are like kind of your final thoughts, what would be your rating?
Oh, one last element. Mm-hmm. Multiplayer actually is great. Like, I think it's some of the... peak Gears multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have hours of fun with it, and I think that helps counterweight it, because I think I've been talking about the single player as a la maybe a 4, but really think the multiplayer is so good. Yeah. I don't care about Horde. I don't feel this way or that way about Horde. I just already know I don't enjoy playing those types of wave-based gameplay, and that's nothing on that actual thing.
Right.
Story, single player is a chore. I think I'm going to play through 5 and 6, because there's going to be a 5 and 6.
Yeah.
But not off my loyalty, more off my loyalty to this franchise other than the actual merits of the fourth entry.
Okay.
But multiplayer is perfect. I think perfect Gears multiplayer, and I'll have plenty more hours to pour into it, and I just keep wanting to play it more. And I think that's what made going through single player even harder, is like, I'd rather be enjoying my time in multiplayer right now. So I think overall, 6.5 chainsaw rips through the heart.
Decapitated chainsaw rips through the heart. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good, a good rating. For me, I can understand that, maybe this entry is a little too safe. They keep a lot of the same things from the previous games. And I think that the first act in the single player is definitely the weakest. Even though I like the idea of the DBs and these robot enemies and why they're there just in the context of this world, why they exist. I like that. I think that makes sense. I really like JD. I really like Kate. I'll agree. I think Dell is the weakest character, and I hope that they explore him more in the sequels, and they give him more of a personality besides being the best friend who's smart and who's funny, and who's charming. You need to expand on that. The Coalition has nailed just that third person cover based gameplay that Epic really just invented. It's on display here again. They add these little interesting things, kind of like the brutal mechanic where you can grab an enemy from cover and stab him with a knife. I think that's great. I think I like the fact that it's a little faster than the previous Gears games, where you say that it kind of feels a little chunky, a little slower. I like that things are a little more smoother. It's not as clunky. I like that. But it still moves like a Gears game, but just a little faster to me. I appreciated that. Even a small gameplay thing, which I don't think we mentioned, in the original Gears games, there would be points where you would be talking on your comm or whatever, and you would walk very slowly. Here, they just play it where you can run while they have that comm activated. And I like it. It's a small thing, but that was a complaint that everyone had in the previous previous entries in the franchise. And so I like that they addressed that here. And the multiplayer, again, I really enjoy Gears of War multiplayer. I mean, King of the Hill is spectacular. Horde mode is the best it's ever been. But I will agree with you, again, the game probably plays it too safe to a degree. And I think they had the Coalition maybe... I wonder if maybe they kind of looked at what 343 has done to the Halo franchise, and you're like, oh, maybe we should stick close to the formula and kind of give what people want, at least to prove, look, we understand. This is kind of like Star Wars The Force Awakens. We know why you like Star Wars. We're going to give you more Star Wars. We know you like Gears. We're going to treat this property with respect. And the other thing I want to say is that I think this is probably the best written Gears in terms of dialogue. I went back and I listened to some of the most memorable lines from Gears 1, 2, and 3, and a lot of that dialogue is not good. Even some of the more comedic moments, they kind of fall flat, particularly between Dom and Marcus. So I like the fact that they really kind of they got some good punch-up writers in here. And so for me right now, I think this is probably it's not my favorite game of the year, but it's definitely within my top 10 at this moment. So I probably give this a 8.5 out of 10 swarm pods, which, by the way, I love the fact that they're introducing so much body horror into this franchise. That's horrific that they're turning human people into these monstrous creatures and disintegrating them. It's like, oh my god, I love
Gears
it.
Really has some horror elements, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I hope they continue to do that in the future.
Tomatoes, it fucked my tomatoes up! God damn it!